Good morning. It's 9 degrees in East Toronto this Wednesday morning. I'm Jessica Hume here with Charlene Callahan and Nikki Rodas, and this is Centennial College Radio. City Council is considering using its new taxing powers to make up for the federal and provincial government's failure to help Canada's economic engine. Discussions surrounding the idea of a Toronto charter heat up as the GTTA's Paul Bedford says this is our last chance to get it right as a region. The Royal Ontario Museum won't be paying an annual fee for the encroachment of its crystal wing onto Bloor Street. And Daniela Payne will explain Mayor David Miller's one-cent tax proposal, an idea for self-preservation that was laughed at by the federal and provincial governments. Life in Toronto may get a little more expensive after the rest of Canada has made it painfully clear they feel the city should fend for itself. After being shafted in both the federal and provincial budgets, Mayor David Miller is considering using a new taxing power given under the Revitalized Toronto Act. While more parochial Torontonians have claimed to increase taxes is ridiculous, the city's services are badly underfunded. As a result, the city wants to see a 5% tax increase on tobacco, live sports events, movies, live entertainment, and alcohol. The city is also thinking about a parking tax, a billboard tax, road tolls, congestion tax, vehicle registration tax, as well as a land transfer. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and the same goes for Toronto. Our city's financial crisis has reached the point the mayor is publicly talking about suing the province for the social services bills it has dumped onto the city, bills the province is required to pay by law. The level of dysfunction reached in Toronto has led some to call for a Toronto charter. While the new taxing powers the city has are a start to tackling the city's money woes, Toronto Star's Christopher Hume explained the big issues of fiscal sustainability and self-determination remain unresolved. The recently relaunched Greater Toronto Transportation Authority represents a step in the right direction. As a regional body, the GTTA is theoretically a good way of dealing with issues like transportation, waste, and environment, although according to Michael Mendelson, senior scholar at the Caledon Institute of Social Policy, says the group needs to compromise too much. Paul Bedford, the GTTA's only non-political member, made clear the fact that this is Toronto's last chance to get it right. The ROM will put aside spaces for kids in so-called high-risk areas in its March break camps. The ROM's March break commitments come instead of the institution having to pay almost $2,400 annually as an encroachment fee. The fee would be a result of the fact its crystal addition hangs out onto Bloor Street. And here's Charlene Callahan with sports.
Thanks, Jessica, and hello, everyone. In the NHL, scoring was not a problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. Fans couldn't help but cheer for the Leafs' 6-1 win against the Carolina Hurricanes at the Air Canada Centre. The win last night keeps the Leafs in a good position to win 8th spot for the playoffs. The season series between the Leafs and Hurricanes is 3-1, which puts the Leafs in a good spot if both teams end up tied for 8th spots in the playoffs. The Leafs will face the Atlanta Thrashers this Thursday. In the NBA, Toronto Raptors Jorge Garbajosa will be spending more time on the bench than he would have liked for the remainder of the season. With only 4.5 minutes left in Monday night's 85-95 loss to the Boston Celtics, Garbajosa tried to block Allen Jefferson's dunk. After jumping and landing awkwardly, Garbajosa ended up with a broken leg. Garbajosa had a successful surgery yesterday, but Raptors say the injury will likely take 6 months to recover from. So the next time fans see Garbajosa on the court might be the next season's training camp. Andre Bargnani is out of hospital after his emergency appendectomy last week. And Luke Jackson, recently signed to a 10-day contract, could play in the next lineup. The Raptors will face Shaquille O'Neal and the Miami Heat tonight at the Air Canada Centre. In other sports, the People's Church located at Bayview and Shepherd usually isn't known for basketball, but once a week the gym becomes a sanctuary for guys who love the sport. Travis Passad has this report.
For the average college student, Tuesday nights usually consists of cheap movies at the theater or a night of homework. But for 25-year-old Ben Constable, Tuesday nights offer him something different. Constable coordinates Soul House. It is a youth drop-in basketball outreach at the People's Church.
Well, I was asked by the previous associate youth pastor. He had an interest in basketball outreach, and I love basketball, and I've always had a passion for high school guys, talking with them about stuff I went through, and just an easy transition.
Constable hopes Soulhouse can provide a safe haven for the 12 teenage guys who come out each week. He wants the outreach to provide more than just basketball.
To try to leave an impact and provide the kids around the age that I went through some tough times with maybe some answers that they won't have to find out on their own.
Regardless of what problems the youth may have, he knows what keeps bringing them back each week. Free basketball. He says the guys enjoy the night because it gives them a place to play without any hard rules. This is Travis Brisson for Centennial College Radio News.
In other sports, the NFL has permanently allowed video replay at football games. The decision comes after a 30-2 vote by league owners. The video replay will help game officials with disputes between opposing teams after a play. In baseball news, the Toronto Blue Jays are lucky it's still spring training. The Jays lost 1-0 to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays yesterday. Casey Fossum, pitcher for the Devil Rays, threw 75 pitches and allowed only 5 hits during the entire game. The Blue Jays' regular season will start April 2nd when they play the Detroit Tigers. And that's it all from the world of sports. Stay with us after the break with Nikki Rodas with all the buzz from Hollywood.
Well, every time my relatives visit, they eat me out of house and home. There's my Uncle Louie. Whenever we have a cookout, he has 2 double cheeseburgers, 3 helpings of baked beans, 6 hot dogs, and a diet soda. That's ridiculous! Oh, and talk about like father, like son. You should see Cousin Freddy. Every time I turn around, he's got his face in the fridge. The guy doesn't snack between meals. He snacks between the salad and the entree. I'm sure glad I shop at Winn-Dixie because they have low prices on everything in the store. Meat, produce, baked beans, everything. Hey, it's important for me to save money on groceries, especially when my Auntie Sophie's idea of light lunch is anything she can pick up with a fork. So, from the bottom of my pocketbook, Winn-Dixie, well, thank you.
Welcome back, and hello, everyone. Canadians can tune in this Sunday, April 1st, to watch the pre-taped version of the Junos. The 2007 Juno Awards will not be broadcasted live because of scheduling conflicts. CTV says that pitting the award show against the ultra-popular show The Amazing Race is not an option. The 2007 Junos will be hosted by songstress Nelly Furtado in Saskatoon. Tune in on CTV on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Are you afraid of Virginia Woolf? Local theater group Eastside Players certainly isn't. The real challenge for everyone involved in the latest production of the 1962 play is to convince the audience that, as usual, the book is much better than the movie. Katie Goujon has the story.
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? Virginia Woolf, Virginia Woolf. Who's afraid of Virginia?
The days of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton are long gone. Toronto Community Theatre Group Eastside Players' latest production hopes to breathe new life into an old classic, Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Those working on the project are looking to move away from the darkness of the 1966 film interpretation. Cast members Robert Ouellette and Kelly Morrison explain.
Mike Nichols, who directed the film, did not think that the humor of the play would come across on film, so he didn't really concentrate too much on the humor.
Yeah.
So consequently, you have a very humorless
and very dark.
And very dark.
Filmed in black and white.
Filmed in black and white.
I remember the music was very somber.
Director Julian Mulock feels that creating a live production of the play makes all the difference in bringing out the comedy.
So there's a sense of comic timing in this play. Okay. And when Mike Nichols made the movie, he said that the way to... Whereas Albee felt that the way to deal with an audience was through comedy. But that's the difference between live theater and movies.
Come and see the lighter side of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at the Paper Mill Theatre on Pottery Road. Katie Goujon, Centennial College Radio News, Toronto.
Author, speechwriter, and human rights activist Lawrence Hill will speak with students tomorrow at Centennial College's East York campus. Journalism students will interview him about his 6th book entitled The Book of Negroes. The book takes the reader into the life of a young African girl who struggles to stay alive during the slave trade. Hill also recently released his 7th book entitled The Deserter's Tale. The book is now available in stores. The legendary play, The Phantom of the Opera, is now at the Princess of Wales Theatre until June 3rd. The Phantom, played by John Cudia, stole the show. Two thumbs up for The Phantom. Tickets start at $40. And that's it from here. Now back to Jessica for final word.
Thank you, Nikki. At this year's Toronto Summit, Mayor David Miller says all it takes to make Toronto a safer, cleaner, greener place is one penny. This summit brings 400 civic leaders to Toronto to discuss over 2 days how to get the city closer to the top of the national agenda by addressing the environmental, economic, and social changes the city faces. The platform getting all the attention this year is Miller's long-awaited campaign declaration. Daniela Payne has this report.
Toronto Summit 2007, titled Making Big Things Happen, kicked off on February 26th with Mayor David Miller's much-anticipated announcement.
But it's fitting in that context that we take advantage of the 2007 Toronto City Summit to unveil our most important initiative yet, the Once Since Now campaign.
Miller's campaign is a call to the federal government to fix the fiscal imbalance that exists between local and national governments, to ask the national government for what Toronto needs.
The One Cent Now campaign asks that the federal government transfer to municipalities the value of 1 cent of the revenues it collects every year from the GST. For the City of Toronto alone, that would mean an investment of more than $400 million this year.
Miller also plans to get Toronto citizens involved with the campaign.
Because at the end of the day, this is about people. The people of Toronto, Ontario, and Canada, what we all deserve. Proper support to ensure Canada's sustainable economic and environmental future.
Maybe the next time you see an abandoned penny lying on the ground, you'll wonder just how far it can be stretched. Daniela Payne, Centennial College Radio News, Toronto.
City Council is considering using its new taxing powers to make up for the federal and provincial government's lack of support for Toronto. Discussions surrounding the idea of a Toronto charter heat up as the GTTA's Paul Bedford says this is our last chance to get it right as a region. And the Royal Ontario Museum won't be paying an annual fee for its encroachment onto Bloor Street. I'm Jessica Hume, and this is Centennial College Radio.